poor buying breakfast.
Buying breakfast.
Day one, day one.
What is up, Crew Has It fam? We are back for another episode. We're about to recap episode 302. So if you're tuned in right now, you saw how crazy that was.
Me versus Greed, baby. It's insane.
Insane. We got two awesome guests with us today that are going to recap the episode. We have the incredible Monique Kernan. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, Monique Gabriella Kernan, just, you know, to honor.
Gabriella Kernan.
My Gabriella mom's Kernan. Roots.
Look, if people are seeing her on the screen, they're like, damn it, we got Blanca in
here. Blanca's back.
And we have the incredible Aaron Medic. Aaron is our director of photography.
Makes us look very cool.
Makes us look super cool. Michael, a little cooler than me, but you know, that's how it goes.
He pays a little extra.
Yeah. Mike makes a little bit more of the bag. So, but yeah, we're going to get into the episode. But first, we're going to start off, you know, talking to them for a little bit. And then we're really going to go into a deep dive of 302. This episode is called Need versus Greed. That is kind of like the whole theme of the episode. It's really cool. It was directed by Ruben Garcia, written by Monica Mitchell.
Did the damn thing.
Yeah, and yeah. We'll get into like working with them and all that stuff. But first, we want to get into our guests over here. So, Monique, I'm going to start with you. Tell us how you got involved in the Power Universe, like your first day. I want to hear all of that.
Okay, this is a little known secret. Well, a few people know.
Uh-huh.
I tested for Angela Valdez.
Wow, did you?
Way back when. Yes, and I'm good friends with Lila.
Oh, get her on the pod, please.
And she's an amazing person, and obviously it went. These are the things you learn in your acting career. The role goes to the right person,
right?
And we each have our path, and you know,
I like that so much.
We fit where we're I think the right role meets you at the right time,
right?
Always. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe in that. But that's how I met Courtney, and Gabriella was there, and I met Joe for the very first time then. So, and then it poof, disappeared. I was like, okay, great experience, wasn't for me.
Right.
Cut to, I guess it was 2017, and I get a call saying, hey, there's this new role on Power. Recurring role or a couple episodes. Are you down? And I was like, of course I'm down. I always wanted to go back and work with Courtney in any
mm-hmm.
context I could. And there I showed up, Puerto Rican in a pantsuit, as Joe has baptized me. and I was in 501.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so that was a straight offer because they had seen your work.
So they saw what you did already.
They had seen my work.
See, this is why you always got to leave your mark, man.
Right.
You got to leave your mark when you step into these rooms.
Yes, and you just don't know what each audition is doing for you or who you're meeting or impressing or the seeds that you're planting.
Right.
So that's how that happened. And it was the crooked guy. It was the scene of the crime where you had shot
Ray Ray.
Oh, Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
We just had Marcus on.
Yeah, we literally just
go watch that episode. Yeah, we just had Marcus on.
Brilliant.
Great.
Lovely, lovely actor.
Yeah, he was super dope. Right, he was super dope.
He's killing it.
Brilliant. Yeah. And so my character comes to that scene because I'm finding out that he's a crooked cop that got. And then, Angela Valdez is on the scene. What was she at the time?
A U.S.
attorney, like at a little old crime scene in the Heights or where, you know, and, you know, it didn't make any sense. And so that's where the Blanca calculations start to happen.
Right.
Like, something's awry.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, started putting the pieces together
501,
early.
And I firmly believed, I was like, everyone dies on this show.
Right.
I'm probably going to do 3 episodes max. And get got. I think they said something. It could be 3 to 5 episodes, something like that. And here I am today. Still hunted.
I was a co-star. I was a co-star, so I know
still
how that feels. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's my origin story.
Nice.
In the Power Universe.
Yeah, I was watching Batman the other day, and Monique popped up, and I was like, damn, she's getting fat checked.
That's elite right there.
Those residual checks are crazy. I actually do want to just, like, not anything to do with Power. I'm curious, how was that experience? You worked with Christopher Nolan.
I worked with Christopher Nolan and the master himself, Gary Oldman. Wow. So, I mean, we've all seen The Professional. Gary's also a gifted director in his own right. It was great. It was, you know, Chris likes to be right there by the actors. He holds a monitor so he can be close. And you'd appreciate this, you know, as you know.
That's
what
they should do.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Because he wants to, you know, really be on top of what is happening, what is the emotion, what do I need to tweak for this particular moment. And I think, to your point, we were talking about editing just a little bit ago, right? Mm-hmm. He has a lot already edited in his brain, so he knows exactly what he wants in each scene.
So. Damn, that is so
It was brilliant.
That's funny.
So, yeah, dream come true as an actor.
Yeah, that's insane to be on Batman.
I saw Sanjata. Was he in that one as well?
No.
So you were in with the one with Heath, right?
I was in the one with Heath, yeah.
That's like one of my favorite movies.
The
of
Dark
all time.
Knight. Yes,
that's an incredible,
so incredible Heath,
film.
It was Heath. It was obviously Christian Bale, who was also phenomenal to work with. Morgan Freeman, all those folks. Yeah,
and then the next one was Dark Knight Rises, and I'm literally watching it because I always watch those movies. For some reason, those are my movies. I go to sleep watching the Batman because they're just like.
Do you have bad dreams after that?
No, I love them so much. I'm like, what's going to be like a feel good thing to just chill and watch? It's so good.
Yeah.
So I see Sanjata, who played Mecca, and I see Tom Hardy kill him. I'm like, we are around the coolest fucking people
that's
in the world.
Right.
We really are, though.
Is that not insane?
We really are,
yeah,
though.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that's incredible. I'm so glad. Like, it's so funny because as an actor, I'm like, I'm so glad you're back in power. But as Brayden, I'm like, get her the fuck out of here. Like,
oh, yeah.
But it's so good. I love the pressure that it brings and the familiar faces from Power, and you've gone over to Force. So what's that like?
I mean, brilliant. I love Chicago.
First, like, crossover.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, love Joe, he's just a powerhouse. And I love Chicago. We shot part of The Dark Knight there as well. So it felt like kind of coming home. I also did a play at the Goodman. So I feel like Chicago is like my second favorite city, maybe.
Nice.
I don't know. L.A. is pretty awesome, too.
Nice.
I
love L.A.
He loves L.A.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, but Force is exciting. I can't wait to see season two. Yeah. I showed up at the end of season one to, like, cause some tension.
Right.
And
you always cause us some tension.
You always do.
Ratchet up the tension. Yeah. Folks hate me, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, we have the best fans in the universe,
right?
Yeah, we talked about this. Season six,
literally.
Michael was like, we were both very much hated, but you in particular, of Power.
You guys.
Like, you were getting threads
death
and stuff.
Death threats, all type of shit. I was getting banned from people's cities. You can't come to St. Louis. You can't come to...
It was like, insane.
You get death threats?
I did not. Okay. I just get a lot of
people
looking at me and be like, oh, you that bitch from Power.
Have you gotten anything in public like that? Like,
oh, yeah. One time I was on the subway and I saw this woman kind of like cutting her eyes at me. And I was just like, okay. This was pre-COVID, obviously, because I didn't have a mask on, which I kind of appreciate now since people hate Blanca. But, you know, love to hate me.
Yeah.
But she was cutting her eyes at me like this. And then finally she just turned to me and she's like, you that bitch from Power. And I was like, oh, yeah, you are. And you could see, like, her eyes just changed because I think people
really think
are so emotionally invested in this show.
They legitimately don't know you're just an actor.
It's a credit to our writers and our camera, our cinematography, everything. Everything comes together in a beautiful synergy on the show.
I love it.
People are very emotionally invested and they despise Blanca for many reasons, even though I'm just trying to do right in the world. And as soon as I started talking to her, like, oh my God, thank you for watching, you could tell she was taken aback.
She was like, wait, this is who you really are.
She kind of lost. She like got a little flabbergasted and was like, okay, cool, nice to meet you. And she kind of rushed off.
Nice. I like that tact where you humanize yourself rather than
it's good. It's good. And I think it's healthy too for people to understand we're just human beings out here in the world making our way, earning our living.
Yeah. All right, so we'll have a full episode with Monique because I want to get into like how you started acting, all that stuff.
Oh.
We tried to get her a couple times, but she's busy. She's flying everywhere, so you know how that goes. So we'll throw it on over to Aaron. So, Aaron, you've been on Power since day one.
Day one. Camera operator.
Right.
Day
So I want to hear, like, what you do, the progression of that, what Power was like day one. Like, I want to...
So Power started in blocks of two. So we had directors do two episodes. We did 8 episodes to start.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And it was
to begin with.
You know, Michael growing up.
I was like 12. I didn't know what the hell was going
on. 12 years old.
I just knew I was on a show. 50 Cent was involved. It was lit.
Sounds good.
I was like 12. I was like, whatever.
It was great.
They want me to say hey. I'll say hey in the kitchen, you know, eating breakfast.
I felt like immediately at home. I kind of grew up doing music videos in the city. So it felt totally natural to be here. So I was a Steadicam operator. And the B camera operator for the first two seasons, and then moved up to A camera operator for 3, 4, 5. I got to shoot my first episode, which was 508 when we killed 50.
Nice.
That was my first thing I got to shoot. Was
yes. Yes.
So awesome, that was right? Your first episode that you were the DP.
I was the DP.
Correct.
Yeah.
So can you just explain what does the Steadicam operator do versus what does the DP do?
Yeah.
So as a camera operator, you execute what the director needs and what the cinematographer wants. And if you're, you know, good and they, you know, you want to get asked back, you can figure out simple things like if I look around, I can go, okay, they've lit it like this. So I can create a whole seamless shot within this world.
Right.
And I can, you know, take everybody's idea and try to make it all one great piece. You know, with your guys, mostly your guys' work, right?
And then as a DP, so that's kind of like the Steadicam, correct?
Right.
And then as
regular
DP,
camera,
you work with the director specifically.
So when you become the DP, you then get to do pre-production where you go and you talk about all the shots. We decide all the shots we want to do, how we want to execute every scene. You know, and every director is different. You know, some directors are very precise. They want, you know, exact shots, and you know, we get there and we're like, hey guys, you know, can you stand right here? Would this work for you? If you stand here, you do this and you do that. And you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And other directors are like, I just want them to do whatever they want to do, whatever the actors want to do, and leave it free.
And then you build around that.
And then we build around that. So
you show up to set before Michael and I even get there or anyone gets there, and you're already seeing, okay, this is kind of how, like, what it's going to look like, and you're talking with the director and being like, okay, in a I'm imagining these actors are going to do this right here and then walk this way. So you help the director, like, visually tell that story, because the director's kind of like, okay, I need to tell the story, and your job is like, I need to visually tell the story, and you guys kind of collab.
Right, and sometimes the director is very visual and sometimes they're not. Some directors came more from like the writer's world where they're more about just the story.
Right, or they come from the, there's a lot of great directors that are great with actors, that they were an actor before, so they know how to speak to actors, but sometimes they, you know, rely on the DP. Everyone has their strong suit, and that's why they're there.
Right.
So, yeah.
And as a cinematographer, you have to, like, embrace all that come and figure out how that you can work best with them. You know, so some episodes are, like, every shot is my shot, right? Like, you know, in other episodes, it's, you know, all the director shots with me just adding our style to it, right? Like, we have a lookbook that we create for the show that we give to every director that has stills that we picked and descriptions of how we want the show to look. It can be color palettes. It can be simple framing. It can be elaborate framing. It can talk about how we want to do wide shots and how, like, currently we're trying to, in this show, Power was originally a show where we would do a big wide shot and get right into close-up. We're trying to back out of that a little bit and show more of the production value and let you guys play in bigger frames and come in and
more like movie style instead
more
of
into
like
a cinematic universe.
Yeah, that's cool, and I love it because we are doing some cool stuff like coming up season 3,
cranes,
season 4,
fire crane shots.
Yeah, there's some awesome stuff that we're really starting to, like, you guys, you know, all credit to you guys, are starting to play with, and it's honestly, like, really leveling up the show.
It's so really exciting.
What's coming this season, season 3 especially, there's a lot of cool shots.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to see, because that's the stuff that, like, I'm not saying people take it for granted, but, like,
they just don't really understand it.
Right, though. It's not really,
they don't see, like, they don't really understand that, like, it takes hours.
Right.
Hours. Not even just us working. It takes them hours to prepare these shots, prepare the list of the shots, everything.
Right, because you specifically did, which is funny, you did the next episode, and there's a really cool shot in that episode that we'll get to when Eve comes here, the director.
Yeah.
But there's a couple really cool shots that, like, I think people are going to start to notice it because it's so forefront instead of it just being like a kind of you know, back thing. Now it's like really showing. So, everything. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite shot?
Do I have a favorite shot?
What an incredible question.
Yeah, that
I'm
is
just
a fire.
Curious.
You like, stay there with us for
that,
all
that I've done or
yeah,
like
that you've
in
done
the,
or that someone else has done, but like just
but it's
something
like a go-to
like
shot.
Like,
like
yeah,
you could use like, you could count on it just like, yeah, this is gonna be fire.
Or it really serves the story. Mm-hmm.
There's things that I like in the way we've written or they've written Power. I really like shots where a scene where it'll will develop into somebody's thoughts rather than their lines, right? Like, I like to see a scene come through and they play, and you guys, maybe you two are like at odds for some reason, and we pull away and we're like experiencing your final moment of a scene. Like,
right.
That we did a lot of that with Ghost mm-hmm. and Power, and it just feels like it's a good storytelling element right. for how we tell our show.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we can get into things like that, I like to
or
do.
Also like an actor listening. Like a lot of times
yeah,
you see like
I mean.
Just an actor speaking. Mm-hmm. But like there's a lot of cool stuff where you see like Michael's wheels turning or Tariq's
right.
wheels turning
yep.
while Braden is speaking to him or while Effie's speaking to him. It's mm-hmm. a lot of cutting to that and being like, oh, okay, like I'm gonna do this.
Because you can tell a lot of story.
Right.
You know, you're really foreshadowing what's coming
right.
in that moment.
Right. Did you DP 50s episode?
I was back to being an operator, right? Yeah. I think I shot that episode. I shot the previous episode, and then I was back to a camera operator with him. But, like, you know, we have a pretty great relationship.
Right.
We're
oh,
always
yeah, he's
talking
great.
And hanging
yeah.
out.
Yeah, I was just curious, like, if you shot listed with him or anything like that, what that was like.
No. I mean, a little bit, but right. it was mostly talking about, you know, we had that incredible shootout scene.
Yeah.
That, you know, so that was just, like, 200 frames a second.
Right.
Everything blowing up and falling down. It was
fire.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm. Fire. That's so cool.
The funniest picture, you know, because I was operating and just debris falling all over me. So I have like one monocle on because I have the camera to one eye, right? And then this monocle covering the other and a respirator covering
Damn.
Me and like a hood to keep the stuff out of my hair. It's
that it has hysterical.
Bro, people don't know what it's like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like,
he was going through it to get that shot.
I have a fire suit from the scenes that we've done for Fire, right? Right?
Like oh,
a,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like we roll, right? We're
for everybody. Yeah. So So I shot that episode as well when we burned Rotimi at the end.
That was
but
insane.
We did, like, in Power, we also burnt rough. People all the time.
Yeah,
that is true. That
yeah.
is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. We'll sit around and talk about the kills like that are coming up, and we'll go, oh, so this is what it says. Like, okay, but we did this one, that one, and that one. Like, maybe we should do something different. So we're
right.
all like, kind of always trying to find a new way. To make that happen,
right.
you know, a new kill.
Trying to find a new way to kill somebody.
Confirm people in this show. Yeah. Speaking of that, okay, all right. So
there's
let's,
some new ways this episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. let's. That's a good little segue. So let's get into the episode. We're gonna start getting into in depth to these episodes because we haven't really done that. There was
in
a little
a while.
Bit of Power
it's been
Confidential
a minute.
Where they did that, but the live yeah. episode it was a little tough. We had it was a lot going on.
There was a lot
on.
Going on. It was
so
a fun night.
So we kind of just really touched the surface, and it was fun. But now we're, like, going to get deep into the episode, so we're excited to do that. So, Michael, start us off.
Listen, man. Need versus greed.
Right.
I mean, honestly, we open with the explanation of Lawrence.
Right.
I mean, the job wasn't done. The job wasn't done.
The job was
the
not
job
done.
The job wasn't done.
So we finish at the end of episode one where we just reveal Lauren.
Mm.
No one knows what
Nobody
happened.
Nobody knows what happened.
Right.
Nobody knows why, how she's still alive.
Right.
So that's the opening.
So Effie obviously put Lauren in the car. She put it into the river, and Lauren survived it.
Messy job, man.
Right. If you don't see a body
Messy
in
job,
power...
Man.
You know what
might not be dead.
You never
right.
know.
Somebody might be walking their dog.
Right.
At a strange hour of the night.
Yeah.
Right.
At a quarry.
So, right. So then we go in next. We now know that we see Jenny Sullivan speaking to Lauren, and she's saying it was Effie and Braden. So is this, I'm curious, is this the first time that... she has mentioned those names to Jenny Sullivan?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I don't think they've talked, right? They've had, like, one conversation before that?
Right.
Because she had come out of, like, a coma state,
right.
basically.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jenny gets her to a safe house, we can presume.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe she's had a conversation.
Yeah, I'm curious if Effie has specifically, or someone, because obviously the season before Jenny Sullivan comes to the house, she knows that I was working with Kane a little bit.
Right.
But this is like the first time that it's come out of Effie's or Lauren's mouth, someone's mouth, that it's Effie or it's Brayden. So there's a little bit of evidence there, which is a little bit of scary. But then Jenny slams down the photo and she says, "We're looking for something bigger," mm-hmm. and it's your boy, Michael Brandon.
Always looking for me, man.
Junior.
Well, listen, you're the kingpin, bro.
I don't be doing nothing, bro. I'm just be chilling. I just be trying to live and survive, bro. That's it, bro.
Trying to get an education.
Trying to go to school. I'm trying to finish school. Yeah.
Right.
Ridiculous out here.
So then we go to the warehouse. We see Obi. Which is great. He's killing it.
He is killing it.
Isn't he great the best?
Yeah. Our new cast members this year are phenomenal.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. And, he's so present.
And basically, Brayden says that he wants to push drugs at Weston Holdings, and Tariq says no.
No way.
Right.
Because he loves you.
Right.
Yeah. He's trying to keep everything under control.
Trying to keep you out of prison.
Right? So we have to move massive amounts of product.
I mean, so, that warehouse.
Right. So how are we going to do it? Weston Holdings. So we go to that scene where Tariq basically is like, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. And then we see Brayden go, okay, how do I get him to agree with me?
He put a little Tariq on Tariq.
Yeah, right.
He put a little Tariq on Tariq. Right. I'm not going
to
lie.
You go to Tate.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what comes up.
That
next.
Was insane.
That
I'm like,
reveal,
yo.
I think that's one of the best reveals, so far with your character particular, being like,
right.
Guess what? Chess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's my
now. Brayden's starting to play for real.
Yes!
I feel like when I did read that when the script first came out, I was like, oh shit, Brayden's making some moves.
Yeah, he's starting to really move for himself. Like, not for himself, right. But he's just making them decisions.
Right. There's like a part of me that I'm like, damn, I just wish like every move was like together. But also like, oh, that is kind of cool. Like when Tariq and when Brayden and King were doing a lot of the trap house stuff and shooting stuff up, I was like, this is so cool. But I'm like, my guy.
Yeah. Going behind my back. Right. But it's all good, though.
Right. So then we go to the where you're working with Tate. Mm-hmm. You're working with Councilman Tate. Mm-hmm. And you are you're doing his internship.
Yeah. And then my shit's just gone.
Right. And then it's gone. We cut to Brashandria. She takes your internship.
Yeah, she says she ain't take it.
Right.
She said
right.
It was given to her. But wait,
but at this point, we didn't know why you got it taken away, right? Because there was a reveal later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Which is...
It's just that Tate slipperiness. He's so slippery. He just changes up the game. Like,
yeah, I don't know what he... Well, he be bugging out on me sometimes.
No, this scene was so funny when I was like, yeah, you really got to get your hands clean and go like, you know... And he goes, yeah, I'm going to go work for Tate. I'm like...
Exactly.
He said, I don't think that's the best idea if you want to clean up your
image. That guy's dirty as fuck.
Yeah.
And
he's like, he's the right type of dirty.
Right, exactly.
So now Monet is looking for Zeke's killer. And Davis is giving us some info. How's that going for him, though?
So, Monet's looking for Zeke's killer. We know the end of... 2:10, she was distraught. She got the phone call, and then now she's looking for who did it. So they're going out and trying to find. Have they got into any searching for the person yet? Have they hit that this early
this
in the episode?
The episode? This is where it really starts.
When Davis comes in and tells all that information, that's really when the search
So she's working with Davis. Did she work with Davis before this? Or is this their first, a little bit in 2:10?
A little bit, yeah.
Right.
Yeah that's he how comes they in got the one. Burner. He got, has a burner phone for her.
Right. So now they're working together, which it's like, it's crazy how, you know,
everything
the lawyers,
just ties in.
Right,
the lawyers always finding their way into some money, right?
Right, it's crazy. Same thing that happened with Proctor. Like, Proctor started off, and then all of a sudden it just started
dirtier and dirtier.
Yeah. Right.
Dirty and dirty.
Same thing with a lot of the, the DA, the police stuff. Like,
well, even Terry Silver.
Right.
Like, he started looking too hard. He started, you know, getting a little in too deep with Tasha and everything.
It's crazy. But I love it. Like, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
They open the wrong door and
right.
That's it.
Right. Would you want to? I'm curious if you would want to do anything dirty or.
Oh, I think it would be really intriguing. Don't you think? I mean, right. You want to see an arc. You want
to
see
because you would take Blanca to be like, you know, she plays by the by the rules, right. In a way, but she still kind of like has to do what she got to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, and I kind of do that in season 6 of Power. There's a little bit of I get sullied by Mr. Sachs. Right. You know,
well, I feel like as an officer in this world, you kind of have to be dirty to get anything done. Because if you do anything by the book, you're not catching.
You're not going to catch anybody.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Everybody's so tightly.
Yeah. Everybody's too clean with the crime.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So then we cut on over to Braden at Weston Holdings. We see, which that scene was so funny where he had the tiki torch.
Oh, with the tiki torch.
So great.
And the shirt in the thing.
But even before that, the look you give our guy when he's like, after he says Omarosa, you're just like,
this motherfucker.
Yeah,
I'm a kid.
He made that decision right there. He's like, he's out of here.
Yeah. So Braden puts the alt-right stuff in his computer. He gets the tiki torch, and Kiki sees that, and she's intrigued. So she says, come with me. So she takes Braden upstairs, and Braden clocks this. He's kind of like, wait, this is all Weston Holdings?
He doesn't even realize that.
Right. Yeah.
His whole
which is hilarious. I'm like, wait, we own all this? Which some people have commented, like, season 6 of Power, I say, yeah, my parents aren't even that rich. They only make like $250,000 a year. And then—
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? That's a line, right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
That's because everything's in a shell corp.
Right.
They only pay taxes on that.
It wasn't a dorm room, right?
No, it was in a dorm room. Yeah, Choate. So we were at Choate, and Braden says that. But I still think that's kind of true. Like, they might make only $250,000 a year, but maybe there's trust, there's this, there's that.
Hmm.
I kind of love this podcast because we can comment on, like, the people being, well, what about this? And we're like, well, this. Mm-hmm. So, but the house, the Weston townhouse, it's expensive. So.
Yeah.
That must
tax haven.
Facts.
Yeah. We gotta figure out how they got that. But we go up, Braden and Kiki, we get it on. Your boys' traps are looking insane.
I have to concur. I was like, who's been at the gym?
Yeah, I don't even want to know this dude's preparation for this shit. He wasn't eating, like, he was eating straight greens and protein, no carbs, nothing.
Skin off the chicken?
Bro.
Yeah.
He's straight up.
Just getting whole chickens. I'm like, bro, you're not going to get nothing else? He's like, nah, I just need chicken, bro.
You know what was so funny? Really the only person that I used to see at the Steiner gym where we film was Hulk. Literally,
yeah.
Okay. It would always be me and him in the mornings. And then kind of when the pandemic happened, like the gym stuff kind of changed. But me and him were always in there before we got to set.
Early on.
Crazy, crazy.
So, talking about need versus greed.
Right.
You and Effie now need each other in secrecy, right? Mm-hmm. I love this. I just love the title of this episode.
That just sounded so good just now. Whole sentence. That was just amazing. That was just amazing.
Right.
We need each other in secrecy. That was just, that was amazing.
You know, it almost feels like a theme for the entire season.
Right.
Like, whose need is going to win over whose greed or vice versa?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And who's going to be joined in their needs or greed? Right. You know, I think it's fascinating. But so, Effie, you try to tell Effie we gotta come correct with our boy.
The second that door slams, I'm like, we gotta tell him. Please.
I probably fuck around and heard you still. Yeah, I was right by the door. I probably still heard you.
That's why she's like, shh. We gotta tell him. Please. I can't keep secrets from him. But yeah, no, you are right. Like, it's so cool because there's so many different people and backgrounds selling drugs.
Yes.
Why are they doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Braden?
Everyone has their own reason.
Right.
Why is Tariq really doing it? Why is Effie really doing it?
Yeah.
And we get into that, like, Effie's, you know, she's trying to pay for her family. Tariq, does he want a trap? Does he, like, is it?
To be honest, I was forced into this shit right now.
That's the amazing thing about the season is, like, we really figure these people out.
Yeah.
And this is the start of that.
And why do Kane and Drew stay in the game?
Right.
You know, I'm curious about that, too.
Does Diana want to be in it? Does she not? Like,
right.
And this season really gets into it. And this is the episode that kind of
sets up all the new alliances.
And people have a lot of secrets and they're playing their cards close to their vest this episode.
Right. Yeah, it is. Amazing. There are so many secrets that you're just like, it's so cool because the audience knows all the secrets, but the players in the game don't. Like all of us, each other, we don't know the secrets, but the audience knows everything. They're like, oh, this is here, this
is
there.
What the fuck's about to happen?
Yeah.
So cool.
And one of the biggest secrets of this episode, of course, is Kane. Discovering a massive
daddy.
Yep. Because we saw in 210 who actually killed Zeke. And that was Lorenzo. Wow.
And we bring back some fire and get some answers.
Oh, right. You do bring back fire. So you obviously, were you on set that day or?
I didn't do this episode.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Nice.
I had to turn away.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's fierce.
It's pretty good.
I love watching shit like that.
That one, I'm pretty sure, is all CGI, the flame.
Okay.
But we've done real burns
over
the years.
Yeah, because Kane's burning. He burns his ear. He burns his hands behind his back.
Yeah.
He's trying to get answers. Who killed him? So then you kind of see, he said it was a bald man.
And dark jacket with lots
something
of
about
zippers.
His car.
Right. Broken taillight.
Taillight
is the key.
Right, the broken taillight was the key. So Kane knows at this point, but he's still keeping it close to the vest that he knows for leverage.
For an amazing confrontation with his father.
Right,
That was insane.
Yeah, so we'll get to that at the end because that's like one of the... that scene was... we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Okay, so...
Now...
The boys is back in business. The boys is back in business.
The partnership.
Yeah.
The partnership, you know, we return. Tariq is back at Weston Holdings. Right. Papa Weston, he's not too happy about it.
Right. You know, literally so funny because you were so against it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk right into the room and you see them doing coke and you're like, no, he's actually right.
I'm like, yeah.
we got one.
We got to do it.
So Tariq sees the potential, and he's like, yeah, fuck it. We got to do it, but we got to be smart and cautious about it. We can't be sloppy because we are dealing drugs. Now, this is not at school. This is not our kind of own thing. We're in another world now. Mm-hmm. So
it's a whole new arena.
This is his family's business.
Right.
And Wall Street at large, too. Yeah. Right?
Wall Street. Right. We the new Wolves of Wall Street.
I do love you guys going undercover in the strip club to do your research.
Yeah, you know, sometimes that's honestly what we do a lot diligence. For 22 Entertainment and the crew has it. Like sometimes we're like, who do you think we should have next episode? And there's like an ass bouncing off. I think Aaron would be good.
Another meeting tonight at 11.
Another meeting, 11:30.
10 a.m. breakfast, legs and eggs. We're gonna figure out
But really, that's the whole strategy is hatched and the plan of action.
I do want to talk about this because I felt like I was fucking screaming in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't know. So when we're shooting a scene like that, there is 100 people in a room and
completely
you can hear
quiet.
A pin drop.
Yeah, they're completely silent.
Oh, my God.
And there's no music playing.
And people are
and we still
like,
got it like...
It's dead silent, and people are dancing.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Absolutely nothing.
It's the weirdest thing ever. You like yelling.
So awkward.
Yeah, you're just yelling for no reason.
And especially in the strip club because we'll be doing the scene. It'll be dead quiet. People are like. Like pantomiming, and then you just see like a stripper, like, and you hear like her plop down on the stage because there's no music, so you hear everything.
She's doing the tricks, he's like swinging, you hear everything.
That's right, and they do the no music so they can get the audio of the scene clear.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was music on, we wouldn't be able to get our lines.
That's gotta be so hard, right? Because they'll play, they do playback,
they play,
right?
Like,
we
they
start
play
the
music
scene.
For like 10 seconds, 5 seconds, or whatever.
Right. So and then when you're dancing,
the rhythm,
you gotta keep that rhythm in your head the entire scene.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part is like, because they tell you there's going to be music on. So say, for example, Michael and I are just having a conversation like this and they put music on in the background afterwards. It will be too loud and we wouldn't technically.
There'll be no truth in what you're doing, right?
There'll be no truth.
But for some reason, this scene, I felt like I was screaming. I was like, yeah, but he's not going to give it up lightly. I'm like, dude, you're going to fucking tell everyone in the strip club, like, chill out, Brayden.
It worked though.
Yeah, it did
that
work.
That was a fire scene.
Right. I did love that scene.
We just
because that was we didn't do any facial coverage from the front. It was all from the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it was
we got that scene done fast.
Yeah.
That was like a quick day. We were there for like an hour.
Yeah, I literally remember. Usually those scenes, like with that much dialogue, that was like two, three pages.
Yeah, and it was a lot of people.
Right.
And then we go from like that of the strip club, the down and dirty, right back to clean Stansfield, we got
clean Celine.
Maybe
Celine.
A new romance.
How
Lil Corny.
It was so funny in episode one. We had the watch party with the whole entire cast. We're all watching it, and all of a sudden, what was the line that Celine says to Diana? It was the corniest thing ever in the whole room.
Oh, he said, with a face that pretty, you should always be smiling or something like that.
The whole room
and everybody was like, oh.
It was like everyone audibly cringed.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
But Petey's great. Petey's awesome. He played that shit perfectly. So he played that shit perfectly. Cringe like guy. Mm. So we see them, and that's like that was the first time they meet. That's Petey's first episode, right?
I believe, I think.
And then we go into 302 and we kind of see Salim and Diana a little more. Yeah. So potential. How does Tariq feel about that?
I don't really like it, bro. You know I don't like people.
Bro, you got Effie.
All right, but you know, Tariq, still needs the options, bro.
He's got options.
He still
got
to keep the options.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Right. So then I think you're in this scene with Whitman, right? The following scene?
Yes.
Right.
Women
because,
are hungry, man.
In 301, I'm like, who's staking out the penthouse? Because he's messing up my situation.
So what's Whitman's... why is he trying to take down Monet so hard?
Because
he was in love with
With Professor Milgram,
right?
Yeah.
So he's trying to figure out the whole reason behind that,
right?
And even more, he was in love, but more than that, he feels guilty.
Yeah, he feels very guilty
because he didn't believe her and he rode her hella hard. Right. Like he thought she was guilty of criminal behavior.
Right. Right.
And then, oh no.
He's a great actor. He's awesome, right?
He's wonderful.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of crazy stuff he does this season.
Terrific. Right. And he gets into it. He's on fire.
Trying to figure it out.
That boy's hungry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like hungry. A rabid dog.
I know. I feel like Power needs that. Like the original Power was Andy Bean, who played, what's his name? What was his character's name?
Greg Knox.
Yep. And then there was also, who is.
I love that character. I love that character.
Right. Sax, obviously. And then, it was Sung.
Sung's
character who from Fast and Furious, he's the GOAT.
Elite.
Yep.
I'd love to have him on.
Best.
And then Steven Ott. Steven Ott, was he in Power originally as well? Mark Feuerstein?
I thought that he started in Ghost.
So he started in Ghost.
I think he did start in Ghost.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's elite.
Because he's so all funny. About that political.
He's so
right.
funny.
Yes.
He's so
hilarious.
Funny with that shit.
Yeah. He's so hilarious. Good.
Rolls
he's so
in, good. Ready to go.
Right. Okay. So this next scene, this is a little Easter egg. Personal trainer Nick is actually my best friend in LA.
Mm. Are you serious?
Oh, really?
Michael lived like
so cool.
My guy.
Michael had a house together in LA.
He was there every day. Yo, he's one of the funniest people ever.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
That. I was just like, because you told me like that he was gonna be coming on, but when I saw him on set, like actually like in character and everything, I was like, this is too funny. I can't think.
Yeah,
and he's so good. He's so condescending.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
It's so funny because people are always like, how do I get me on Power? I'm like, I can't get you on Power. And then my friend got on Power. I'm like, well, he was an actor for 10 years before this. Like, you know what I mean? But I just helped him with this tape, and I'm like, this is what they're looking for. This is that. So
had the right body type.
Right. He actually read for one of the guys doing coke. The
the guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Right. But then personal trainer Nick. He's a personal trainer. He's a boxer, and he's like 6'6", and they're like, oh no, him.
It was he was perfect.
Right. But how kind of said, what is he? What did I was like, yeah, I'm still dealing with that thing. And then he looks at you and he's like, what did he say?
He calls you like little man.
Yeah, he said, I forgot what he said. He said, you could use something, little man.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but
yeah, you could use it. You could use it. But we see he's the plug, and we're like, we gotta get rid of this guy. Mm-hmm. How do we get rid of him? So that's kind of like boiling over. Like, what's gonna be the
shit gets dark, man.
Right.
Yes.
Shit gets dark.
Right.
Yeah.
And next.
Drew.
Then Drew.
Drew gets his ass whooped.
Yep.
By Guap.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the reason? And like,
so Lorenzo.
I honestly forgot why he got why they
Lorenzo needs Lorenzo. A cover.
Yeah.
It's the cover for Monet. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which you find out at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When Kane confronts him. But for right now, we don't know why. Just out of nowhere. It's supposedly a revenge hit, right?
Yeah, and he said it was GTG. This is for Lil Guap. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because Drew kills Guap in which episode did Guap die? Like 207, 208,
I think. Or yeah, 209. Or
so
like
he
that.
Said that this is revenge for the Guap, but he was like, "Why would this happen now? Bands. How? Like, all
I thought you
stuff.
Killed them all,
right? Right. Mm-hmm. We thought all of them
that,
are dead."
And our amazing fans and viewers are going to be like, "Well, why didn't he kill him?"
Right?
Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, "This is suspect."
Right. Mm-hmm. Right? Even and they even say that they're like, "Well, why didn't he? He should have killed him." Like, like, so
yeah,
there's something up.
Definitely something.
So now people are like, okay, well, he spray painted on him, but just didn't kill him and walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's getting romantic now.
Right. What happens
you
know, now, my
you know, Tariq, you know, Tariq this season is trying to, you know, he's trying to put his trust in the people. Mm-hmm. The worst time. Like, literally the worst time. He's trying to put his trust in the people. So we see that, you know, working with Effie.
Is this the first time you've officially had, like, a girlfriend in the show?
Because
you said, like, boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
No, it's not the because Lauren was.
Lauren an official girlfriend?
I believe. I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it,
because I think just, were you like pulled between?
I know
her,
there was like a whole people were called the love triangle. I'm like this. You know, this is a love octagon. Yeah. It's like I'm like just give me one. Yeah. Please. Yeah,
no, another door opens up. It just keeps getting bigger.
Right. Yeah, no,
but I'm not sure. I think this might be like his
right.
First
your first official girlfriend. Yeah,
but Could Effie be, you know, as loyal as Brayden is to Tariq?
Right, right. Because you know, also, Effie's still hiding the secret that she killed your ex. Kind of cool. she killed your ex, and well, at least she thought she did. So she's hiding the secret.
Yeah.
And is there anything Tariq is hiding from Effie at this point? Or is, are you, is there fully...
He's not really hiding anything. I guess he's just trying to keep her in the clear type thing. Because, you know, obviously they start in the business and everything.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think he's really hiding anything. He's really, you know, putting his trust in the people. He's kind of, you know, confiding in her a lot more now. But
I love that you guys are so equally paired, too. Because you just, both of you, no matter what's going on, you see the wheels turning. We know Effie has a secret at this point.
Right.
And you may not necessarily. But it's just such a great pairing on screen. If I can say, like, when you two are together, like, it's just, like, smart and just...
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of elements to it.
Bro, it's so weird. I think that's why it works so well is because, like, we're opposites, but we're also the same. Mm. It's weird. Like, we're opposite characters. We're opposite people. But it's kind of why, like, we match up, but we think the same.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a very interesting thing. You know, Brayden and Tariq, but also Michael and Gianni, because we bring so much of ourselves to the character. Yeah. And I just think that's why it works, you know?
Yeah. It's just a natural shit.
Yeah, but Courtney saw that and was like, yep, this is it.
Yeah, she started building straight on that.
Yeah. And we see a lot of him rubbing off on you.
Yeah, man.
With the big reveal of this episode.
Becoming similar, man. You right. know, both the Tariq on Tariq.
Right.
We figure out that Brayden is responsible for, you know, Rashandria taking the internship.
The Tate internship. That was so cool working with Lorenz. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm working with our dog.
Yeah. That was your first, was that your first scene with him?
That was my first scene ever with Lorenz, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How was it working with him? It was just it
was absolutely elite. Like, and he's so funny, like young brother. And he'll like he'll be like,
just the little stuff that he does is just so fire.
Right. He just brings so much to the lines, which is why he's just an incredible actor.
Yeah.
But it was weird because I want you to talk about this a little bit. There, as you see in the background, there's a train that goes by.
Yeah.
They were trying to match up the train every 3 minutes. They wanted the train to go by, the pan up, and then into the scene. So we were going by the train coming by. That's when we started. I got out of the car and walked over. They cut a little bit out to make it right. Mm-hmm. But I want you to talk a little bit about that. Like, how does that... Is that difficult for you? How does that work? Like, it's just a little bit of bringing New York to the show.
I think this is, like, one of the kind of funniest things that we do all the time. So, like, the director and the DP, we always want that shit, right? Because it looks amazing,
right?
Right? And the ADs are like, God damn, I gotta time this whole thing. Fuck it. All right, you just hear him scream, all right, to whoever their second is, go get me the time schedule. I need to know. And they're like, they better be every 3 minutes.
Wait. So you get the time schedule of the trains before we even get to set?
Right. Or they might do it like you guys are probably in the trailer and they're staying there and they're like up looking at the app trying to figure out how, because sometimes it's 3 minutes, like you're saying. Yeah. Other times, it's
crazy.
15 minutes.
Right.
And like, you could see the ADs start just pulling their hair. Like, 15 right. minutes? I can't get a shot off for every 15 minutes? Nah, we can't do this. We can't do it.
I had no idea. Wow, that's this. I learned something on this podcast.
Rob's going to be like, no, we can't do this.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So if it's 15 minutes, we all compromise and we're like, okay, we'll do one with it, and then we'll do another one. And then, or however long the scene is. Maybe we get two in or three in, and then we'll set up and wait for the 15-minute one and get it in again.
That's cool.
That's sometimes, so worth it, right?
Totally, because it makes it feel water, more real.
So sometimes you're like, get the boat. But those aren't every 15 minutes. There's just a random boat going by. They're like, get the boat in the background, start. And I'm like, oh, I'm putting my water down. I'm like, oh, the boat's coming.
And I'll just roll. Like I'll be like on the headsets, so just roll camera. And people are screaming like, what are they doing? I'm like, just get that boat. Like we can cut it in later, get whatever it is. So we'll steal stuff.
So speak about
keeping New York alive, New York, right? Like we're here for a reason. Like,
bro, this is so cool. Like I want everyone on every episode because I just learned stuff. Like I literally did not know that they like check the schedule. That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So speaking about shots and all the technical stuff, we see Kane. He kills the Guap's dad. Fucked up Drew.
Yep.
And every time Kane got an action scene, it's insane.
Yes.
It's fire.
Bro, he is bringing it. Like,
Woody's going crazy.
He breaks into the trap house.
Right.
He kills two guaps, and then he gets the one, and then he brings him to the bar.
Yeah.
And Monet kills him. And that kill shot is epic.
Right.
The way he flies out of frame.
Right. Mm. So can you actually talk a little bit about, like, how that works?
It's all special effects, right? So you have our special effects guys that fight choreographers come in. And like I wasn't there. You know, Laurent, our other DP.
Mm-hmm. Laurent's the man.
Was doing this one. And it looks to me, like just watching the shots, that he was just on a box and they put a pad behind him and they just time it. So you see her pull the trigger and he goes flying out of frame and you get left with that iconic Monet with staring down the barrel of the gun shot.
She didn't even want to hear anything. She said, oh, this is the motherfucker that did it? Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah.
No talking, no anything.
That's the state that Monet's in, bro.
Right.
She's not asking questions.
All that anger.
Everything's so built up. She's just like, nah, I'm ready to kill anything.
And you can kind of see Lorenzo in that scene. Like, don't listen to anything he says. He's a fucking liar.
Oh, man. He's got all his fingers crossed. He's like, this has got to work.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
As soon as he talks, he backhands him.
Yes. Literally so funny. Okay, so then we go to Everett. That's Drew's love interest. He's going to Oklahoma City.
Finally NBA. Made it, got drafted.
Right. Yeah.
Got drafted, about to get that bag.
So that's kind of that split with Drew, like he's kind of going away. And then...
But that scene is so pivotal
for
Drew, right? There's a lot of hurt that Drew, big up Lavelle, he just is so present in that moment because they're trying to have this relationship. Yeah. It's obviously it's not going to work. But then, you know, he feels betrayed by the guy because he's all beat up and he's
Well, it's kind of the push and pull of the Tejada, what Monet takes away from her kids.
Yeah, they can't live a regular life.
Right, because he actually got beat up and he literally could not because he was supposed to go to the party.
To the party.
He got beat up, so he literally could not make it. He was in a hospital bed, but it happens too often because Monet is always pulling her kids to do stuff for the business.
Crazy
for her needs.
Right, so then they don't have a life, and then that's pivotal. Like, I feel like every time, Diana can't have, she can't go to school, she can't do what she wants. Mm. Drew can't have this relationship. Kane wants to be, I feel like Kane's the one that wants to take over the business, but... She's always taking from the kids,
and it
interferes with their life. And this is kind of you're right.
Yeah, and the way he played this moment, it just perfectly tees up what he gets into next.
And the visual storytelling is perfect, right? Because he's completely beaten and bruised.
Yes,
his life is on his face,
and his heart gets beaten and bruised.
And he can see it that he can't really leave this life,
right?
Even though that other life is right there for him to try to go for.
Right.
It's out of
so far.
Grasp.
It's so far.
Right. So that close is interesting.
And
so far.
And he's got nothing to lose. And so he's the perfect one to send after your buddy.
Right, right. So then we go to, he's leaving with you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, because you did a session with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys do?
You know, I was getting a little bench press.
Nice.
A little bench press, did a little flies and all that, or something. Nothing too crazy. I told him I got to ease back into the gym life. So,
So I was filming I forgot what scene I was filming, but I had a scene that was like a different day. Cause sometimes like we'll shoot the last scene of the episode first if we're at that location that kind of works out with it.
Yeah.
So I was shooting another thing and I wanted to stay for Brandon's scene. Like this is the big scene where we kill him. So we're like blocking it out with Ruben and he's laying on the concrete in the middle of the road. The road's completely shut down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we were in Long Island City. They shut this whole road down. No car can come in and out. There was a delivery guy on a DoorDash, like one of those motorcycles, completely going down the wrong one way, broke through the thing. Because those guys will fucking do anything.
New York City.
Right.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he's going down the street.
On a little scooter.
Yeah. And Brandon's laying in the middle of the street. And the guy had no idea. Didn't even see him. No one was paying attention. I was like talking to him because he was laying on the ground. I'm like, Brandon, like I see the guy coming. And he gets up. This guy literally almost killed him. Goes down a one way on a.
He almost died twice.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. He almost actually died. Yeah.
In real life.
He's like on the ground. I'm like, all right, Ruben, at least get this.
Make it count.
Yeah. So we see Drew follows him and pushes him into the street. So.
Cold kill.
Yeah. They had this whole dummy. So they push him into the street and then they cut to the dummy getting run over.
Nice.
But it's kind of cool. Like, can you talk a little bit how, like, the tricks of how you're able to, like, fake that or, like, when someone's shot in the head, like, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, this is all pre-production, right? We sit down and we're like, okay, so we need to see this guy, you know, in this situation. We want to see him get pushed, land in the road.
Right.
And we want to see him alive and see that it's over, right?
Right?
He turns and looks. You get the headlights on his face.
Right.
So we need the real guy for those three shots.
Small shit like
can you talk about so they use the car. They use the car with the camera on it. It's the little.
There's a bunch of different ones. There's an e-car.
Yeah, I think it was the e-car.
That's the shit I was chasing around all season one.
Yeah. So when Tariq's running away, it's literally like a little, like a kind of a golf cart type thing with a camera on the back. And as Tariq's running, it's driving in front of Michael, and Michael's running and just pretending it's not there. So
right. So we have remote heads that, you know, we put the camera on this remote head. It's stabilized, so it takes out all the shake.
Right.
We can roll it. We can pan it, tilt it. In this version, it's not on a crane, so it doesn't boom up or down, and so it's locked at one height. And we use it all the time. And this e-car is really the Omari car.
Mm.
So
tell
the story of Omari and this car is that.
Ooh, I
want to
hear this.
I love how Dave perked up. He's like, clip. This is a clip coming.
It's so funny. But
yeah, Omari car.
All right. So before the e-car, which is actually a car that goes 90 miles per hour, there were only golf carts, like you were saying.
Right.
So we had cars, they went 22 miles per hour. Omari was an Olympic speed runner, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
before football or?
No, during football. He ran like a 4.340.
Insane.
So that's faster
than
22 miles per hour.
Insane.
We would do scenes with Omari and he would run past the golf cart. And I'd be on the car, and I'm like, yo, you gotta slow down. I'm like this on you.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, you speed up. I'm like, you gotta slow down. He's like, you speed up. I'm like, we can't speed up.
We're already going.
He's like, well, I'm not gonna slow down. It won't look real. Like we're literally running down the streets of Manhattan at full speed, and like we're yelling at each other from the car. And like, I'm like, okay, stop. And I'm like, you know, because we're good friends. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, come on. Like, there's nothing I can do. I'm like, if I got out and pushed, I still can't go any faster.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember specifically what scene it was? Was it when was killing Lobos?
No, he would, like, get up and run. Like, he's running. Like, in the first couple
the
of seasons,
scenes. Right.
He would run. Yeah,
but
so
wasn't
he'd be
there a
running
scene
by
where,
the water.
Wasn't there a scene where he put on headphones like he was going to go run, but then he went to go kill Lobos?
Oh, it might be.
Yeah, yeah. I was curious if that was it. But this
was it under, happen. This particular one was under the South Street Seaport.
Nice.
It doesn't exist anymore. It's like all been gentrified. But,
he was too fast for
the car. So he's too fast. So the owner of that car, like, immediately went into production on creating an e-car version of it.
Perfect.
So it could go fast enough.
That is crazy.
So that's why
that's
that car
brilliant.
Exists.
Wow, that's so cool.
Because Omari's too fast.
Damn, I love that.
That's so
amazing.
Funny. I love that. Okay, amazing. So what were we talking about right before that? Because did we finish what we were recapping?
We were talking about the kill. So we have an e-car that's going to like give that perspective of the car coming up to this guy.
Right.
And then you just see like a split second of a dummy, right? You can't show too much of a dummy. You're going to see it's fake. So you try to get in like 12 frames, which is half a second, right? So you see it, but you don't really see it.
Right. And then you see enough, though.
And then that poor driver.
Yeah.
This poor guy ran somebody over, man.
Someone, right.
Oof.
That's terrible. Right.
Okay, so then we go into motherfucking Sax here. Sax always has a phone like this in every scene. There's always like, he's just like.
He's always creeping, bro.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what's so funny? Creeping. It was the one where in, this might have been season one of Ghost, where you're at Ghost's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And you're like crying. He's like, this is his father.
Because his niece
like,
drugged me.
Right, he's like, what the fuck, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden you just see Sax far away in the graveyard. He's just like.
In the graveyard.
It's like, he's come like, on.
You got it. Good.
Yeah. It's fucking, it's just oh wild stuff. But it's hilarious. And I feel like that's Sax, man. He's a little, just a little weasel.
He is.
He's just a little weasel.
But he needs evidence
right.
if he's going to keep things up with Ms. Jenny.
And his journey is just so insane from, like, the original power to—
because
he was there day one in that scene. Mm-hmm. So his journey to that up until this point, like, good side, bad side, like, there's kind of no line for him. And now he's working with Davis, so he's working with Davis at this point? Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good.
And in this scene, snooping on him.
Right, right. So it's like even the guy you're working with, you can't even trust.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I could relate, man.
Right.
I could relate. I could
relate. Damn it! I don't write the show! Who wrote Monica?
Listen, so Kane, he finds out it was Lorenzo that kills Zeke. Now he has a ton of leverage.
Can we talk about this scene?
He got a ton of leverage.
Fire.
So happy. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. He's there. He has a conversation. Yeah, yeah. No. Good.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, boom. Because I know it was you.
Mm-hmm. Lorenzo.
Birdo's face.
And Birdo, he's like, what do you mean?
Right. And he goes, he's
the
like.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I see you got that taillight fixed, huh? Such a cool line.
Such a great line.
I love that line.
Right.
I love that line.
I see you got that taillight fixed, huh? Because it was just like a. Oh, because it kind of put it together for me, too. I was like, that's how he figured it out. Because it didn't, it never said in the story how he specifically figured it out.
Correct. Right.
And then he said, I see you got that taillight fixed, huh, ball guy? And then it's all put together.
Mm. Putting them pieces together.
So that's, like, this is kind of going to be the power shift from, you know, Lorenzo having control of the organization to now Kane. So is Kane going to call the shots? Now he kind of has the leverage. What do you think?
Yeah, I think
set up some power dynamics in the Tejada family for sure.
For sure.
Yeah,
it's gonna rumble a lot of things in that family.
Yeah,
as if things aren't rumbled up enough.
Yeah.
Crazy rumbled in that family.
So 302. So what are you guys looking forward to after all that episode?
Where that leverage goes.
Right.
I wonder what Kane's gonna do with that.
What are the storylines?
And
how's
Lorenzo
like
gonna deal with it too?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like. Is this would he kill his own son to keep his secret?
Mm.
That's interesting.
I don't know. That's an interesting question, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
That is interesting. There is a lot of stuff that you're like, okay, is Monet ever going to find out?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with Diana? Is she going to stay at Stansfield? Is she with Salim? Like,
fucking Salim.
Brayden, is Tariq going to find out about... Is Tariq going to find out not only the Tate internship now, but Lauren? Because now we know Lauren's alive.
It's too much to figure out, man.
Is Lauren going to take everyone down?
Mm-hmm.
Because now she's working specifically with Jane Sullivan.
That's a loose end right there.
There's a lot of loose ends.
And Jenny's on fire this season. She's like really...
Peyton's
on
a great, too.
She's on
Peyton
a mission.
Peyton is the best. So
Peyton's great. Peyton Ashbrook, she kills it. But
phenomenal.
Yeah,
there's so much story coming.
There's too much.
And this was
too much.
This is like such a good episode because a lot of times like episode two are hard because the premiere happens.
The premiere is a lot. Like you gotta be like, what are we gonna follow up with now?
You gotta wrap up what happened, our cliffhanger from the previous season.
Right.
And two's gotta set the table for the new season.
Right. So two's a lot
and
of story.
This is perfect.
So sometimes it's hard for the episode to be fun and a lot of stuff happen because you kind of have to like line everything up.
Right. Yeah. And bring the fire.
Right. And bring the fire.
But with our show though, it's like we always end on something insane. So we start on something insane. So, even when we're laying the bricks of, like, to prepare the story, it's still, like, insane.
Right, how do we how do we sustain that for 10 seasons? There's a cliffhanger at the end of every episode.
It's true.
It's fucking so hard.
And that's episode, why people love the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just
and can't stop
writers.
Talking about it. Yes.
They know they
Big up to the writers.
Well, thank for you guys so much for coming in and recapping this episode with us.
Totally.
Yeah, you guys had a good time?
Oh, thanks so much.
I think we learned a lot.
Thank you.
I think we learned a lot. The viewers are going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
Especially from the, you know, the cinematic side, so.
Yeah, we want to have you guys back on, obviously. We're going to be doing this, recapping all these episodes. So
we got 10 weeks of this.
Yeah, I want to do a special DP episode where we talk a lot about stuff like that.
We have to.
There's so much we can do with that. So please drop your predictions in the comments. Go to the comments. What's going to happen next episode, 303?
303, baby. It's a lot to figure out from
Is there going to be another body dropped or not?
I don't know. I guess we'll
see. Always another body.
How many bodies are we at so far?
Oh, my God. I mean, ran out of fingers and toes for
season.
Sure.
Just this season.
Yeah.
Just in 301 and 302.
301, 302. How many bodies dropped?
The hand.
Yeah, that's two right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The husband and wife, you know. That's two already.
Then your boy.
Then
Bash.
Bash.
Which is kind of hard because we didn't go through the last episode, kind of, because we were live. But, like, yeah, Bash
that's
is
three.
Dead.
The girl in Noma and the girl that Noma killed.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Should have kept my name out of my mouth.
Cunt. That was crazy.
That line.
Cunt.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Noma
too.
Is the best.
Yeah. There's a lot of death. A lot of death this season.
That's
so
like four or five people already.
We're gonna get into it. Plug everything you guys have. What do you want to plug, Aaron?
Aaron Medica on Instagram.
Yeah,
look out for follow.
We actually really post some cool behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes stuff, yeah. So if y'all want to see like behind the scenes fire photos,
yeah,
go follow Aaron.
Aaron Medic, we got.
Amen. Monique Kernan on Instagram as well.
Gabrielle.
So we'll have a lot of behind the scenes photos that we can finally post.
Right.
Yes.
I have one of Lorenz that it's. If this is coming out on Tuesday and the episode, the photo's out, so you guys have seen it. Because I've been holding, I look at it every night, and I'm like, I can't wait to post you. Can't wait to post you.
Juicy.
I was doing the same thing
up
to the premiere going like, okay.
Yeah.
All these still.
People are
going to
think this is so cool.
Fire.
Mike?
Where's 22? We got vlogs on YouTube, Instagram, Where's 22, TikTok, Where's 22, and Michael Rainey Jr. on Instagram as well. Listen, we're filming season 4. Season 3 is out now. We here, man. We in the motion. In the motion.
Gianni V. Paolo, TikTok, Instagram.
Did you hit that 1 million yet?
I'm almost close.
Bro, can we get this guy to 1 million?
I made a video of Toya.
It's time.
Because we were out with Berto and who plays Lorenzo, and Toya who plays Diana. And people were like flaming her for going, she always calls him Poppy. Poppy.
I know.
So I recorded Berto, and then I recorded, I was like, Poppy, Poppy. And she's like, you mother. And it's actually like, it's hit the power audience. So I've been cleaning it up a little bit with the power audience. But
I love it.
Nice.
Subscribe, you know, to the boys, like, comment, and go watch Power. Like, watch Ghost. We're out. Talk
after a long,
it.
Long wait.
Yeah.
It's been
too
a year
long.
And some change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back. And make sure you share this episode because, you know, the better the episodes do, the more we're going to be able to do this for you guys. So we want to do this and get in depth. We want to bring some fans on to have you guys talk about the episodes.
Mm.
So the more views we get, the easier it is going to be. So thank you so much. You want to give us one, Michael?
Listen, man. The crew has it, baby. Yes, sir.
The crew has it.
Yes.
Give us one, Aaron.
The crew has it.
Yes, because he is the crew. He is the crew. Yeah. You know what's so funny right before we wrap? Woody came in last season, and someone yelled, okay, the crew has it, like because that's what they you know, they mark out the scene. The crew has it means...
The crew has the set to work.
Right, the crew has the set
to
work.
The actors go, get ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then
And Woody just went... Oh, that's what that means. I was like, Woody. It's not, everyone wears hoodies of it all day long. You didn't, he's like, oh, dude, I get it. It's cool. Like,
and didn't you explain it the first show?
We did, but it's like, oh. But thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate the fans. Appreciate the supporters.
Yeah.
We're going to be back next week.
Baby. Yes.
Awesome.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank
this
you so
is
much for
so
in.
Wonderful.
What'd you think?